Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you had a great week. Welcome to the nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with David Shurtleff, our master producer. And we're going to be talking barbecue, of course, as we always do every Saturday at this time. Father's Day is coming up next week. And so what are you going to get, you dear old dad? Well, I know what my wife and daughter did. They're going to be out of town in Las Vegas, so yippee. There's a great new grilling book on the market, and a barbecue book, I should say. It's Weber's new American Barbecue, a modern spin on the classics, and it was written by, Jamie Previance, New York Times bestselling author and a James Beard Award nominee. Jamie will be with us in just a minute. And of course, this week's music is courtesy of our old buddy Rod Stewart. Probably showing my age there, but Rod is showing his a lot more. So let's get to some barbecue here. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hey, JT. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to talk to you finally. Give us a little insight on how long it took you to actually put this book together and create it.
Well, it took about a year to write it, but I've been thinking about it for much, much longer. I mean, this is my 18th book now I've written for Weber. I'm always accumulating ideas and just sticking them aside, waiting for just the right book.
Sure.
And this book allowed me to bring out, some of my favorite recipes from years and years of travel and research.
Well, I've looked at it. I think it's a great book, and it's, again, for Father's Day. We'll get to how they can purchase the book and stuff in a little bit later in the show. But you cover an awful lot of stuff in here. And one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is you did a little page or so on American barbecue over time. And you broke it down. Barbecue in the country kind of started out in the New World in the 1600s. But one of the things that I was always fascinated with and still am, the 1700s, barbecue became political.
Yeah, it did. It was a way of getting votes, really. before CNN and the internet, I suppose it was a way to gather a lot of people together and convince them to vote for you. Barbecue and booze, basically, I think was the deal. There's all sorts of records of George Washington being at a bunch of barbecues and throwing his own barbecues. And apparently a lot of these things ended up in giant brawls, which sounds a little bit familiar to our current political situation. But anyway, barbecue and politics were a big deal for a long time.
Well, and they didn't just do a brisket in those days. They did the whole steer, the ox, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they did big barbecues versus, we get pretty intrinsic with it now as, grilling either briskets, tri-tips, whatever you want to put on the fire. But they were pretty staples in either whole hogs, whole beef, something like that. And that's always kind of fascinated me, too.
Yeah, it fascinates me as well. We have a pretty kind of limited idea of what barbecue is today. Like you said, we think of those those cuts of meat like brisket or ribs. That's not always been the case. Certainly in those political times, they were doing a lot of whole animals or basically anything that they could catch. I mean, there was no supermarket to run down to the street to and, you know, get a prepackaged something or other in a styrofoam tray. So barbecue is an evolving, you know, form of cooking. If you go back to the original, you know, meaning of the word, it really comes out of barbacoa, which was something that, that developed in the 1500s and was all about things like snake and alligator and, you know, whatever could be, lizards of some sorts and whatever could be cooked over a live fire. And eventually we sort of got into smaller pieces of meat. The pork became famous in the South in the 1700s and the 1800s, and we've sort of latched onto that, and it's great. But you know, people should know, I think, that, that barbecue is a much broader concept than in, as defined in a little barbecue joint in America today.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, if you use the words Holy Trinity back in the 16th, 17th, 1800s, it would, as we think of the Holy Trinity of barbecue, you know, brisket and pork and all that stuff, had a whole different connotation in those days. Is, you know, you probably wouldn't want to say it around the bonfire as they're roasting an ox, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So.
Right, and the sauces were so different, too. I mean, in a sense, there really wasn't a lot of sauce back then.
Mm-hmm.
If it was, it was heavily based on vinegar, and it was more of a kind of a mopping mixture than anything else.
Yeah.
I think if you were to present to those folks, you know, what we sell in the supermarket today, they'd be shocked because these super sweet tomato-based sauces are nothing like what people were cooking centuries ago.
No, it seems to me they would probably be based, like you said, on vinegar, a lot of salt, probably, you know, depending on your area, the different types of maybe some herbs that were available to you, and that was about it. I would think.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, they slapped it on there to keep the meat moist, and then you just ate it right off of the carcass. And that was barbecue back in the day.
Now, I've been to some places in the Middle East, and not going to say which country because I don't want to offend anybody, which is not normal for me. But they call it a goat grab. And they would actually have a sheep or a lamb or something on a spit, and it's going around. And the indigenous people will actually walk up and with their hand tear off a piece of meat, where more westernized people will come up and the server will cut off whatever you want. But that's where the term goat grab came from, just in case anybody wants to know. Little piece of barbecue trivia for you there, Damon. When you're doing,
which isn't too far removed from pig picking. I mean, same idea, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Mm. Except one culture probably wouldn't be cooking a pig. I can tell you
true,
that.
True.
So when you're doing a book like this, how do you decide, or you and your editors decide, which recipes to include and then maybe one to say, you know, that one doesn't quite fit in here, but I've got another book. I'm sure you do. If you've written 18 of these things, you're going to have some more. Save this recipe for later. How do you make those decisions?
Well, for this particular book, I started with what most people associate with barbecue in America today. So that trinity of brisket and ribs, pork shoulder. And I wanted to do a few different versions of each to show people that there are options out there. So, you know, for pulled pork, I wanted to do a classic Carolina style. And then I wanted to show some international influences. So I did a Korean bosam, which is like a little lettuce cup with pulled pork and a little slaw in there, a little ginger carrot slaw. And then I did a Texas style pulled pork burrito. And then I did some little pork patties with a mustard sauce. If you have some leftover pork, you can make like almost like little crab cakes, but they're made out of pulled pork. So the idea was really to just show a variety of approaches and flavor profiles for all those kinds of things. And then I wanted to break out of that Trinity box entirely and do stuff that, again, reflects sort of the always evolving nature of barbecue. So had to bring in some seafood and some steaks and, you know, some burgers. And always, with this book, always a twist. I mean, I wanted to give people something that was fairly familiar but with a surprising element because people like that. You know, people like to try something new and different.
Jamie, we got to
take about a year. Sorry?
I'm sorry. We got to take a break, but we'll be right back with Jamie Proviance and the new American Barbecue book from Weber right after this.
Hey, this is Wayne Miller with Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, and you're listening to Barbecue Nation with JT.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with David Shurtleff and Jamie Proviance, who's got a new book out for Weber called The New American Barbecue, A Modern Spin on the Classics. And before we talk to Jamie again, wanted to say you can email us at Barbecue Nation, that's BBQNation at KXL.com. Or if you want to send us your recipes, you can do it recipes at KXL.com. And David, you want to do the Facebook deal for us?
Yeah, it's Barbecue Nation on Facebook. Just look it up. Same deal there. You can send all the same stuff there and swing by and give us a like. It helps us out.
There you go. We're begging, as usual. And say hi to a couple of our affiliates today, KWRO down in Coos Bay, Oregon, and KWVR over in Enterprise. Thank you for listening, and we appreciate it very much. Now let's get back to our buddy Jamie Proviance with his new book for Weber, The New American Barbecue. And before I cut you off and we went to break, and I apologize for that, you were talking about some seafood, and one of the things I noticed in your book, Jamie, is that you kind of start out with some seafood recipes and stuff at the, you know, after you've kind of done your introductions and your tables and things in the front. We are very heavy into seafood up here in the Pacific Northwest, and so I'm always glad to see that in a book, that somebody takes some time and does something more than just, you know, here's a cedar plank salmon.
Yeah, well, seafood just works so incredibly well on a grill or a smoker, and more people need to know that. Unfortunately, a lot of people are really intimidated by doing seafood. They think it's going to stick or fall apart, or they're going to overcook it. And it's true, it does require a little bit of skill, but hey, that's why I write cookbooks,
yeah.
To walk them through that. You know, it's funny, I'm talking to you from Houston, Texas today, and of course, you think primarily of beef, but I have been I'm actually going back for the second time to a seafood restaurant called Caracal. It's really a Mexican restaurant based upon the seafood along the coast of Mexico. So here in Texas barbecue country, they're doing fabulous seafood over a wood fire. And that's the key, is that wood fire and that smoke, it seeps into seafood so quickly and makes such a really positive, you know, contribution.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes with, you know, some shrimp, and you've got something really special. I'm looking at a picture of some spicy shrimp with a charred poblano romesco sauce, which is in the appetizer chapter that I think you're referring to.
Yep.
And it's just one of my favorite recipes, and it takes like 15 minutes to do, and you've got what I call great barbecue. I know a lot of purists would think that's not barbecue, but it's cooked over live fire with smoke, so in my book, that's barbecue.
It's legal if you're doing that, and I happen to be looking at the same picture, and that's what I'm going to be fixing for dinner tonight. But
awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the things, not to get off the track about your book here, but you know, the way you're explaining this to me is what I like to see in people when they're barbecuing. They're not afraid to try things. The weekend warrior, I understand, they got the burgers, the dogs, maybe some chicken that they they do a half-baked job on, no pun intended. But I don't think you should be afraid to try seafood and some other things, or grilling vegetables, for example. A lot of people are afraid of that, but you'll stay afraid of it unless you just jump in and do it.
Yeah, you just got to be open-minded. You got to be willing to make some mistakes and get out there and just play around. You know, there are some people who stay home for most of their lives, you know, in their own little town, and there are other people who get out on the road and they travel and they're just open for whatever comes. And the same thing in cooking. You know, if you're open, the world is a fascinating place, and the food possibilities are amazing. But it does start with an attitude of, hey, let's go, let's try it.
Yeah, and I think you should, and you know, encouraging people to do that. I mean, that's what I hope they get out of this show in particular, is the encouragement to go out and try something a little new. One of the things I liked too when I was reading through the book, Jamie, was you actually took the time to say it's a beginner brisket. We hear so much, especially on this show, I mean, you know, brisket being the holy cow, if you will, of cooking barbecue. And you're in Texas right now, and, you know, you hardly can't go to even a fast-through drive-in down there that doesn't have brisket on the menu. But for a lot of people, it's kind of a scary deal. And I really like the way you kind of walked them through. This is how you do it, you know, and you put it in the cooler at the end and you let it kind of rest and do all that. I think that's really cool. Now, is that something that was instilled in you, or you had seen so much of you finally decided to take issue with it and do it?
Yeah, to be honest, I had never seen a really good recipe for sort of a first-timer or beginner brisket. A lot of them failed, or they were for the real pros, which usually started out with, you know, like an 18-pound brisket, which is really hard to find.
Right.
And what most people do is they go to the store and they see like a 8 or 10-pound brisket, usually just the flat, and they try to barbecue it. Usually the recipes are super simple. And it ends up dry and tough, and it's awful. So I said, no, I need to take what people can find in the store, about a 10-pound brisket, and make something really good with it. So I employed, you know, the techniques of you know, when to baste it and when to wrap it. And as you mentioned, the resting period is really important. And I stress the importance of having a whole brisket. Even though it's small, you want that flat and that point together. Because for one thing, if your brisket is a little overdone, a little dry, you can mix those two together, and it actually makes for a really delicious sandwich. It's not like the ultimate Texas brisket, but it's a really satisfying meal. If you're having a bunch of friends over, this is a way to wow them. And you can start it in the morning and, you know, finish it by dinner time. Some of these other pro-style recipes, and I've got a couple of those in the book too, you know, they're going to have you up at 3 a.m. putting your brisket on or baking it or something like that. So this is a brisket for the common man, you know, the guy who's got a life to live besides barbecue.
There you go.
And it really works.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend that to people. We're going to be back with Jamie Proviance here on Barbecue Nation in just a couple minutes.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to Rod Stewart and the Barbecue Nation here, a little Hot Legs. I guess if we were doing a show about chicken and spices, maybe that song would be cool. Anyway, we've got Jamie Proviance here in the Barbecue Nation studio this afternoon. He's got a new book out, Weber's New American Barbecue, and inspired by the classic styles and all that stuff. And Jamie's written about 10 million books about barbecue now for Weber, and he's done a great job on all of them. I say that in very fondly jest. He's written a lot of books about barbecue, but plus he's a classically trained chef. And so I got a really big question for you before we go on to more barbecue stuff. Do you cook at home?
Absolutely. Outside. Yeah. I mean, that's where I develop all the recipes for the cookbooks. So, yeah, I cook at home every day, kind of morning, noon, and night.
Good for you. I'm a true devotee there, you know. Not just because he makes his living doing it, but he's a true devotee to it. I like that. coming up in a couple of minutes, Jamie, I'm just going to give you some time to prepare yourself for our lightning round. But I wanted to tell people, too, again, you can email us at barbecuenation@barbecuenation.com and or at KXL.com, I mean, and recipes@KXL.com. And then, do you know why more barbecue enthusiasts choose Bear Mountain pellets? I can tell you because I use them myself. They're a quality-made pellet. There's no added glues, synthetic flavors, anything like that. It's just the pure wood held together by pressure. And in my pellet smoker at home, it works great. And you've got your choice of flavors, apple, hickory, cherry, alder, mesquite. They've got them all there. So that's Bear Mountain Forest Products. And you can look them up online or at a retailer near you all around the nation. Okay, so are you you want to try this lightning round, Jamie?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, buddy. Jamie Previance, this is your lightning round on Barbecue Nation. What have you learned so far on your book tour?
What have I learned? That I have learned that Houston's really humid.
That is true. That is true. And so what is the hardest part about being on tour for you? Because I'm sure this is not your first one.
Getting up at 2 in the morning to be on morning television and having a pulled pork, you know, shoulder ready to go.
Yep. I've been there, done that, pal. That's a lot of fun. You like cooking prime ribs in a Holiday Inn at, you know, 2:30? There you go. This is kind of a general question. How long did it take you not to peek under the lid when you were cooking, so to speak?
Well, for the first 35 years, I was peeking under the lid. And for the last 15 or so, I give myself a B.
Okay. What is your favorite seafood, your favorite seafood, to barbecue or smoke or grill?
Wild salmon from the Pacific Coast.
There you go. Jamie, what do you think the toughest skill is for a beginning barbecuer to learn? The toughest skill.
The toughest skill is to read a fire, to know if a fire is burning properly or not. That has a huge impact on the food.
There you go. What barbecue skill took you the longest to master?
Knowing when a brisket was done. I know it sounds simple, but it's not.
Yeah, that's true. So let's do something fun here. Which of these would you rather barbecue? A Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, a Christmas goose, or the Easter bunny?
I'm going to go with the turkey, which is challenging, but when you do it right, it blows away grandma's roasted turkey.
Oh, yeah. That, it actually has some flavor is what you're talking about there.
That's right.
And juice, yeah. What's the best day of activities for Jamie Previance? What do they contain?
Well, for me, it's a tailgate party to go down to my college before a football game, you know, get there early in the morning, put something on the smoker, and just let the day evolve with people coming by, asking what I'm cooking, offering advice, usually bad advice, and, you know, ultimately winning the Pac-12 championship.
Well, there you go. Now... My team and David's team, the Oregon State Beavers, we're a little bit in the bottom of the bowl right now, so I can't question you on that. fill in the blank here. Liquid smoke should be used for?
For a substitute. And in very small doses, maybe in a sauce. You know, it is a natural product. I'm not a total purist, but it's not as good to me as smoke coming right off of wood.
Right, right. If you were declared supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would you, as the supreme ruler, decree?
I would say that sauce cannot be more than 50% sugar, as most of the ones in the store are.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just too darn sweet.
Okay. Outside of your 18 books, do you have a favorite barbecue cookbook?
You know, the Francis Mullman has a book called, I think it's On the Fire, or Over the Fire. He's a chef from South America. And I just love the way that he talks about burning wood and coaxing flavor out of it. And that's a real inspiration.
There you go. Do you remember what the first thing was you ever grilled or smoked? And I meant not inhaled, but actually cooked as far as smoked?
Sure. It's called a hot dog. Are you familiar with that? It's, it's a sausage kind of like thing. And no, that's what my dad and I started cooking on. And to me, it wasn't so much about the hot dog. It was just about being with my dad over a fire and chatting about whatever was going on then.
Right. Here's a little key to success on that, people. Never take the skin off a hot dog. what's the worst concert you ever attended?
Oh, gosh. The worst concert. I think, I'm trying to remember those girls in the 1980s. Can't remember, but I actually left the concert. It'll come to me later. I'm sorry. I can't think of it. I've blocked it out. It was such a terrible memory.
Well, you can text us and let us know there what that was. What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill?
I guess, you know, filling it with a quart of liquid of lighter fluid and then trying to light the charcoal.
Was that at one of your tailgate parties at Stanford?
No, not at my parties. No, I've seen other tailgaters do that.
Okay.
And they weren't from Oregon, though. You'll be glad to know.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Where's the worst place that you've ever had to cook? I mean, you've done TV and radio and all kinds of stuff and a lot of private events, I'm sure. Where's the worst place you've ever had to cook?
Well, probably on the sidewalk in downtown Chicago for one of those morning television shows, literally by the dumpster at about 2 a.m.
Yeah.
With no lights, and just about a dozen homeless people bothering me constantly for a bite.
Yep, yep. Been there, done that, pal. And finally, for someone new in barbecue or grilling, and we got about 35 seconds left here, what would you recommend for them to start with? If they've never cooked anything before, but somebody got them a grill, what, you know, fish, chicken, whatever, what would you recommend for them to start with?
You know, I'd probably go with some bone-in chicken thighs. Pretty simple to do. They're packed with flavor. I'd have them probably start them over indirect heat. And then finish them over direct heat and add a little bit of smoke. Once they get a taste for that, I think they're off and running into the big, bad world of barbecue.
There you go. We're going to take a break here on The Nation. We're going to be back with Jamie Proviance right after Rod stops singing about his chicken legs.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
I am sailing home again.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL here in downtown Portland. Hope you're having a great weekend. It's Rose Festival time, of course, here in the Portland area, which means it's going to rain. That's the only thing I can tell you. It just rains every year at Rose Festival, and that happens. We've got Jamie Proviance with us. Excuse me. Jamie's got a new book he did for Weber called The New American Barbecue, a modern spin on the classics. And Jamie, I have one question I want to ask you here, and a bit tongue-in-cheek, but a bit serious, too, because you've got it in your book. All of a sudden, within the last, give me some space on this one, but 4 or 5 years, all of a sudden, smoking macaroni and cheese is a big deal to people. And where did that kind of come about? I mean, I know we can smoke anything in a smoker. Guys like you and I have been doing it for a long time, but now it seems like every restaurant or every barbecue joint you go into, they've got their own version of Kraft macaroni and cheese in the smoker. So lay it on me here.
Yeah, well, smoke is trending. There's no doubt about it. And one, because it just tastes good. I kind of have a theory that we are now getting increasingly more technological, if that's the word.
Yeah.
Our fast-paced lives, we're doing all kinds of stuff electronically, and there's something about cooking with wood or charcoal and smoke that's sort of a balancing act for that. You know, it's something wild and primal, and even if you're not the one doing it, just by eating smoked macaroni and cheese, you're sort of identifying with something basic in our DNA about cooking over a fire.
Sure.
That's just a theory, but I'm sticking with it.
Well, I think it's a good theory, and I just have some advice for people. Don't dry it out too much is what I'm saying to them. Because I've been in some barbecue restaurants that have served it, and some of it gets pretty dry. and that's not the macaroni cheese we've grown to love over the years. So I'm sure yours is perfect. I'm sure all this is perfect. And I don't say that sarcastically. I'm sure it is. But just as a point of reference, I eat in a lot of barbecue places when I travel. And some of that stuff can get a little dry on you. So
I hear you.
Word of the wise.
I do have a really good smoked macaroni and cheese, though, in the book, I got to tell you.
I saw it. That's what made me prompt the question, because yours looks yours looks delightful in there, and if it was here right now, I'd eat a whole bowl full of it. But, I guess you probably learn how to cook macaroni and cheese the more conventional way and then switch over to smoking it. Maybe that would help people. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it is one of the most common mistakes among smoking enthusiasts to oversmoke, whether it's macaroni and cheese or pork ribs or
sure.
or a steak. Too much of a good thing is just too much. So I say usually, if you're smoking for more than half of the cooking time, you're going over the line there and probably creating more smoke flavor than people like.
Right, right. Well, Jamie, I want to thank you for being with us today. Jamie Proviance and his new book from Weber's New American Barbecue. Where can people go to find out about you, your website, and where can they find the book?
Well, for me, probably Facebook is the best place. Just look for Chef Jamie Proviance and be in touch with me. I'd love to know what people are thinking about the book and about their own barbecue. I'm always interested in ideas. The book itself is sold in all the usual places, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can go to the Weber website, weber.com/New American Barbecue. There are some recipes right there if you want to sample those, and a little video and such. But once you get the book, if you hear, if you have some opinions about it, I really do like to hear from people because that's how we all learn. This is a communal act, barbecue. And so happy to meet some people online.
There you go. Jamie Proviance, his new book, be sharing with you out there. It's in bookstores now. I'd like to thank Jamie. Also, we've got McGarian coming up and Bushlack in the hold there waiting for us. And thank you, David, and all of our affiliates down the line for carrying Barbecue Nation. For everybody that's listening, have a good weekend. And remember, folks, turn it, don't burn it. We'll see you next week. Let's go sailing.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is produced and tolerated by David Shurtleff in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.